Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good. Amen.
All the time.
Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for how good you are. How wonderful, how merciful. Thank you, my dear God, for how you strengthen us, how you provide for us, how you take care of us, how you protect us. Thank you, my dear God. Thank you for the body of believers here, Lord. And thank you for Pastor Stevie and his family. And thank you, dear God, for the privilege to serve alongside my brothers. We thank you for another beautiful day. And thank you, dear God, for the privilege to share your holy word, dear God. We ask that through your Holy Spirit, you would minister to all of us, Lord. We just thank you for that, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I've had a difficult week. I was sharing with Neil and Tony. You know, sometimes we think that somewhere, someplace, people are going through difficulties, maybe in war, hungry, all kinds of different things that people go through. And I think sometimes we, like myself, I'm so grateful and thankful for how good God is to me. Very seldom do I run across something that kind of affects my life in a way that I just stop and I have to just stop and think about everything that God is doing in my life, not just one thing, but everything. I was sharing that this week I was having lunch in my car, and I had a gentleman that came up, and he was he opened the door, and I was talking to him, and I had a chance to pray for him and his family earlier in the week, and really enjoyed their home and their family. They're very cordial, very nice. And he seemed to be very outgoing and very open. And when he sat down, he said, can I ask you some questions? And I said, sure. So he started asking me some questions about Jesus. And I'm kind of like, you know, I couldn't figure out exactly where he was coming from. But the questions were, one was like, how come Jesus didn't know when he was coming back again if he was supposed to know everything? And I'm just sitting there and I'm going like, Lord, I wanted to minister to this man and I wanted to encourage him, but now he's put me on the area here where I'm thinking, why did Jesus? And then he turned around and he said, do you recall the passage that Jesus spoke about Jonah? And he was going to be in the belly of the whale for 3 days. And I said, yes, I'm very familiar with that. And he said, well, he said, did Jesus die? And I said, yes, he did. And he said, how do you know? I said, because the Word of God tells me that. I said, I believe the Word of God. I said, many years ago, I happened to be in the world, and I asked God to change my life, and he did. And he was the only one that could do that. And I said, so I know that God loves me and that God cares for me. And all of a sudden, a gentleman come up, and he's standing right outside the door with us right there. And the man that was talking to me turned around and said, "What do you want?" And he said, "Oh, I was just listening to your conversation." And he said, "Get out of here." You know, and I just said, wow, that was, you know, the man was just listening to a good conversation, but the man didn't want him to. And I think sometimes when temptation comes into our lives and problems and trials, we, especially the enemy, we're not really waiting for that. We're not prepared for that sometimes, and I think we should be. The story that the scripture that I've been studying this week is in Matthew chapter 4. Would you open up your Bibles to that? And these are the temptations that Jesus went through. And I was in my life, by the grace of God, the Lord has carried me through an awful lot of temptations and trials and problems that he just strengthened me and helped me through and blessed me to be able to not do the wrong thing, but by the grace of God, through the help of the Holy Spirit, be able to do the right thing. And I'll be forever grateful for that. So I think one of the things that I just wanted to encourage each and every one of you is that temptations and trials and problems will come. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves you, and he will help you through them. Amen?
Amen.
All right. In chapter 4, the Word of God starts, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Now, back in chapter 3, the chapter concluded with Jesus being baptized. And when he got baptized, the Word of God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, I think sometimes when we are blessed by God, either serving or doing something, and it just feels so good to be allowed by God to do that. And I know that Jesus heard the words that God spoke. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine God in heaven speaking, and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And John the Baptist was there, and he had been told, "Where you see the dove descending on that person, he will be," what, "the Messiah, the person that you've been waiting for to come." And I imagine, you know, for him, hearing those things must have been a blessing, but it was for Jesus. And then, all of a sudden, the whole picture changes. The Word says that the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness, the desert. A long time ago, when God created Adam and Eve, he provided for them a beautiful, beautiful paradise. They had everything. They didn't need nothing. And yet, they were given a command from God not to eat up, what, one tree. You know? And Adam ate from it, and the world was transferred over to what? To Satan. All the things of the world were given over to him. And when Jesus was led out by the Spirit out into the wilderness, the Word says that he fasted for 40 days. I think fasting is something that is very seldom talked about in churches today. I think fasting is not something that a lot of people do. The Word of God said, deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. Spiritually, okay, the Word of God says to walk in the Spirit is the greatest thing for us, okay? And somehow or another, we kind of don't get it. We see food, we like it, we eat it, all kinds of things, clothes, cars, you name it. And Jesus, the Word says he fasted. He denied himself for 40 days just to glorify God. And he had come to the point to where when you fast and you fast that much, the last time that you get hungry is the last time because your body is getting ready to die. You have wore everything out, used up everything, and the Word says Jesus was hungry. He said the devil, the tempter, came up to him and approached him and said, if you are the Son of God. Now remember that when Jesus got baptized, God spoke and he said, this is what? My beloved Son. So, you know, I mean, Jesus knew that. Okay, and here the enemy is bringing what, a lie to him? If, to bring doubt, okay, to bring questions, okay. Sometimes when we are going through difficulties in our lives or we're struggling with something, we lose sight of the fact that God promised us that everything happens at God's timing, not our timing, but God's timing. And the reason for that is we're not ready to accept it and we're not ready to understand it until God says this. Now you can get it. Long time ago, I had read a scripture and I really enjoyed it, but I couldn't discern everything that was involved in it. And I had been taken out to lunch by a salesman. And we're driving in the car, and all of a sudden, God gave me the answer to understanding the whole scripture. And I just yelled. I let it go. And the guy stopped, and he turned around and looked at me, and he said, what's wrong? I said, I did nothing wrong. I said, God just answered me. I said, I had been asking God what this meant. And I said, all of a sudden, he gave me the meaning to something that I needed. And it was a blessed time in my life. And it's always a blessed time when God answers you, when God gives you what you need, not what you want. And here, Jesus says, the enemy, okay, the enemy wants to what? Destroy you. He does not want you to believe. He does not want you to follow. And he does not want you to what? To obey. Okay, now you, as a person, okay, in your own walk, in your own life, you and you alone know where God brought you from to where you're at today. All these years, you have seen the miracles, you have seen the wonders, you have seen all the wonderful things that God has done for you. And also the circumstances of where you have walked through. Sometimes we have problems with our families. Sometimes we have problems with our neighbors. Sometimes we have bills that are due and we don't have the money. All kinds of things like that. And yet, if you looked at then, and look at now. God carried you from there to here, and everything is okay. Amen? Amen. You know, and I think this is something very important for us because trials, temptations, problems, they're always, always going to come. And the Word of God says that the accuser, the enemy, stands before God and accuses you all day long, for whatever little thing, big thing, I don't care what it is, he points it out to God that we're imperfect. But the Word of God says, come what as you are. God accepts us, and he knows, okay? And Jesus, when he was led, okay, he came out into the wilderness to be, you know, tempted in a way to see, okay, what God really does. Because, you see, he knew and believed, and he came to do what? The will of God. Not his, but the will of God. You know, and with us, sometimes it takes time for us to get through from one point to another point of understanding, okay, and believing the Word of God completely. And that's an important process, because I don't care if you're married, you're single, working, not working, you know, whatever it is that you're at, God is there for you, amen? And God will help you. We have different people that come here to the church, and we do our best to encourage them, feed them, care for them, and love them. And sometimes they keep coming over and over and over. And I think sometimes we want to give up on that, but we can't. We have to remember that the Word of God says when somebody comes and they ask you, you're supposed to give it, yeah. And we can't lose sight of that. You see, God has blessed you with it, you know, and somebody else needs it. Don't hold on to it. Okay, when you give it away, God is going to give you more than what you had to begin with. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when the enemy asked Jesus, if you were the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Do you believe that Jesus could have turned those stones into bread?
Yep.
Yes. Amen? Yeah? I mean, that would have been easy. Remember, he brought Lazarus back from the dead? Remember when he made the wine? Yeah? And then you take a look at Israel when they walked out in the wilderness. You know, they had manna. They had water. Their clothes didn't wear out. Yeah, all kinds of things that, you know, only God and God alone will do for you and for me. Yeah. Jesus didn't fall into the area of saying, I'm going to show you. Sometimes we get into conversations with people, especially brothers and sisters, and we start talking about different scriptures. And, yeah, but what? How about this? And all of these different things. And it's good. It's good to remember all the scriptures. But it's good to do it in love, not to criticize somebody else or judge somebody else, maybe because they are just starting to grow. Maybe they're just starting to learn. And we were there once. Amen? And somehow, you know, you have to be patient. You have to understand that you were put there to serve. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And that's you and I. Yeah. I want you to understand something here. Jesus is more powerful than the enemy. Okay? See, he's God. Amen? And here's the enemy trying to get him, to bait him into doing something, okay, that he knew wasn't difficult at all. But that's what the enemy does. He wants you to use something so that someone else can see you and say, oh, is that what Christians do? Yeah. See, when we say that we trust God, that we depend upon God, do we? Yeah. I have a friend that I came to San Diego with, and he's very wealthy. He He owns a lot of properties and he owns a tremendous amount of things. And when I gave my life to the Lord, God just separated me. Him and I were real close, and I just didn't go see him anymore. And time passed. And he called me, and he said, my wife died. I was wondering if you would do the funeral for her. And I said, yes, I would. So I did. His whole family was there. And we had a wonderful time together. And when I got ready to go, I walked out to the car, and he walked out with me. And he said, I think you missed your calling. And I kind of laughed, and I said, well, I think I found it. I don't think I missed it, but I think I found it. You see, he knew me as one type of person, but God had changed me into somebody different. And he got to see the different person. Okay? You see, Jesus was taken for where he was and put into a type of situation where he could have demonstrated his power. But I want you to see what Jesus did. Okay? He turned around, and instead of, you know, taking the devil and belittling him, he said, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I want you to understand the last part of that. It says, from the mouth of God. Okay, remember when Jesus started preaching and talking to the people, they said, he speaks with what?
Authority.
Authority. Why? Because it was the word of God. See, he didn't condemn the enemy. He just pointed the enemy to what? The Father. See, we're here, okay, as messengers of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And we are supposed to share that good news with people. But we are to do it in a way that we live it. Amen? The Word of God says, by their fruits you will know them. See, every day we're in front of people, we're doing things, we're involved and everything else, and there's always people watching you. Okay? And sometimes when they want to, you know, they really come to understand a lot more of who you are than who you think you are. Because the love of God and the kindness of God does things for us. You recall when Peter and John were being questioned by the Sanhedrin, and they were accused of this and that, what have you. But the word says they knew that they had been with Jesus. How did they know that? They didn't ask him. Yeah. You see, God's love inside of us goes back to Corinthians, how it's patient, forgiving, long-suffering. Okay. When you have God inside of you, you're entirely a different person. Okay, because you're here to be a servant. You're not here to go ahead and do it your way. Amen? And that's what Jesus did here. He didn't say, well, wait a minute, you know, you need to be subservient to me. No, no, he didn't say that. You see, when we help people, we need to do it in a way that love's involved in it, kindness is involved in it. Okay, not criticism, judgmentalism. We don't need that. We need to do it in a way to where you are being used by God to share who God is, not who you are. Amen? The enemy doesn't give up. See, He wants you to fail, and he will continue to come after you. In verse 5, the word says, "Then the devil took him up to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" You know, the enemy turns to Jesus and he says, you know, prove it. He said, throw yourself down from here and prove. Not only to me, he said, but prove it to all of the city, all the people, that God is going to protect you, that God is watching over you. Okay. Sometimes, years ago, we had a ministry for policemen at Horizon. And we had some young people that had become policemen in San Diego. And they they came to the meeting one night, and they were flying high. I mean, they were spirit-filled, and they were jovial and laughing and everything. And so after everybody sat down, I said, you know, you want to share with everybody what it is that you're so joyful about? And they said, yes, we do. And so they got up, and there was a young man who was 14 or 15 years old who had gotten angry and took a knife and threatened to kill his mother and father. And when the mother and father were drawn into a corner, the neighbor had looked through the window, and they had called the police, and guess who went? That young man and that young lady. They were together, and they happened to arrive there. On the way there, they were wondering what was going on. They were told that this young man was holding the mother and father at bay and that he might kill them. And so when they arrived there, he said the first thing they did, they prayed, and they said, God, in Jesus' name, we ask you for your help here, that you would show your glory, that you would bless these people and turn this whole thing around. So when they walked in, the parents were in one corner, and they walked up and they started talking to the young man. And they walked over and said, can you give us a knife? And he gave them the knife. They put him in the car, and everything was fine, the mother and father, everything. And they got out there, and a reporter came. And he said, what happened? Oh, he said, nothing. Well, no. He said, it was all over. He said, people know that this. No. He said, nothing happened. He said, well, how did he give up the knife? Oh, he said, we just asked him to. You asked him? Yeah, he said, we prayed before we went in. We asked God to just take the whole circumstances and just work it into nothing. And he said, so when we walked in, we just asked him for the knife, and he gave it to us. And that was it. Yeah. And the reporter said, no, there's got to be more than that. He said, well, you're welcome to go and look in there and see if you can find anything else. He said, but we know what God did, and that's the important thing to us. You know? You see, the enemy is not going to stop trying to get at you. Amen? Here, he takes Jesus, and he raises him up on a high, high building. We don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us how high. But he tells him, jump, because God said he's going to take care of you. You see, God gave us the wisdom and the understanding, okay, and to know, okay. Sometimes we have had the heroes in the wars where they jumped in and gave their lives were a whole bunch of other men. We've had people go into a fire and draw people out and take people out who were burning inside. But see, at that moment, when they did those things, God had called them to go in there and do that. See, they didn't take it upon themselves just to go in there and do that. And it's like you and me. See, God all of a sudden allowed the enemy to go ahead and do what he was doing, okay? But Jesus, having the power to do everything else that was entirely different than what the enemy was doing, he was just waiting back. He was waiting on God. He didn't take it upon himself to say, hey, you know, I'm going to take care of this myself. No. Remember, he said, I came to do what? The Father's will, not mine. That's what we're here for. We're not here to jump in and do what we want to do. Okay? God is inside of us. God surrounds us. God will help us. And we need to understand that. Doesn't make any difference where it is or how it is. Yeah. He said, he will give his angels orders concerning you that they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. I don't know what kind of work you do, but I'll give you a little idea of what I do. By the grace of God, the Lord's had me here for over 30 years. But I'm a plumber, and I help a lot of people. And sometimes we crawl under houses, and some people get like, you crawl under houses, yes. You have no idea what you're going to find. Yeah. But you see, when we crawl underneath there, we're looking for a problem that's, you know, might be in water, sewer, or whatever, see. We're not looking for animals. We're not looking for snakes or anything else, you know. And you know that by the grace of God, I've had two instances in my life. I was working Alpine, and I was working under a house, and a little boy crawled underneath there where I was, and he said, have you seen so-and-so? And I said, I don't even know who so-and-so is. And he said, oh, no, no, he said, he's my lizard. And I said, oh. I said, no, no, I haven't seen him. I said, but I'll tell you something. I said, if he's down here, you better get him out, because if I see him, I'm going to burn him with my torch. See, he said, no. There he is. He went and picked him up and took him outside. Nothing happened. Second time, we were here in North Park, and we were working under a house, and there was a family of skunks. And we are on one side of the house, and the skunks are in the other side. And the guy that was helping me, he said, you know what? They're going to spray us. I said, no. I said, look, they live here. I said, we are intruders. We're here doing our thing. Let's just do it and get out. Yeah. So we finished working over here, and then we moved here. And when we moved here, they moved over to the other side. Yeah. The mother never got upset, never did nothing, and we were just, everything worked out fine, you know. We did our job, and we got done, and we left. And two times over 40 years that I have been under a house, and something's happened, and God had complete control of it, not me. Yeah. And I think sometimes when something happens in our lives, we need to understand that the Word of God says, all things work together for what? They're good for those who what?
Love God.
Right. See, what a difference it is to take the Word of God and apply it, to give meaning to it. Because, you see, God meant it when he said that. You see, a lot of times you have people that quote a lot of scriptures, okay? And they're maybe very good about telling you where this is and where that is and what have you in the Bible. But do they apply it to their daily lives? You see, being a doer of the word is so important. And it's something that we need to practice every day. We need to put it to use. See, a policeman trains to serve, and he has a weapon, and he has all kinds of things. But just like those two policemen, they use the word of God to disarm a person. And nobody believed it, but they did. And that was the important thing. You know why? Because they trusted God to do that. And it's just like you and I. When we trust God, and we know and believe what His Word says, it's going to work. Amen? It'll work for you. It'll work for me. Jesus said in verse 7, "It is also written, do not test the Lord your God." Now, the Word of God says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." You know, stop and think just what the Word says there. He gave us something, and we didn't even, we weren't looking for Him. We were so far away from God and everything. And here is God thinking about who? Us. Yeah. And how He could help us. How He could give us something that would totally fix and change our lives. And sometimes, this gentleman that came in was talking to me there. I was thinking to myself about, I said, you know, Lord, he's got four children. Oh, please help him, because he needs to hear the truth, and he needs to know the truth, and he needs you. It's going to make a difference in his home and his family. He's teaching his children there is no Jesus, and I said, that's not true. Please help him. Again, in verse 8, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. You know, for 20 years, I had the privilege and the opportunity to go and serve the homeless downtown. And I took quite a few of our people here and quite a few of the ladies, and they cooked, they did all kinds of things for them down there, and we had a wonderful time. And always around Christmas and Thanksgiving, they got excited down there because people would bring food and they would bring presents and they would do this. And we were having a big sandwich day, and everybody was together, and we were laughing, and we had worship music and everything going on. And one of the guys said, "You know what a joy this would be to have all these every day of the year." And I said, "Amen to that." I said, "Now I want you to look at those people that bring sandwiches down here once a year." I said, "Where are they the rest of the year? I want you to see those people who bring clothes down here once a year." Yeah. Many years ago, Grenada suffered a hurricane. We were at the theater over here. And Mike McIntosh was our pastor. He asked us to bring some things, clothing, that they needed in Grenada. So we did. Everybody brought all kinds. They had two truckloads, and they took it to Grenada. a month later, Mike went before the whole church again, and he said, I'm going to ask you to do something. He said, I want you to go out and buy something new. He said, I don't want you to give socks with holes. You know, I don't want you to give T-shirts that are no longer usable. He said, pants that have all kinds of holes in them. He said, no, I want you to go and buy something. And it was such a blessed time. And all of that stuff went there. And those people were so grateful, and we were so blessed. I don't know if you're familiar or not, but we had a revival back in those years. The revival was that God was doing a miracle here, right here in North Park. And my prayer for God is that we have that revival again. We need it.
Amen.
Yeah. Every day that we live, we're drawing closer to Jesus. We have no idea when he's coming. Yeah. But there's a lot of poor people out there in the street. The other night, we had prayer here. And closed the week in prayer, and it was beautiful. Right outside, as soon as we closed, as soon as we got out there, here's a lady, young lady, maybe 30 years old. They had vendors working out here. She drives right through the middle of them, and she was drunk. And then she said, I'm not doing anything wrong. You know, the police came, and we let them use the front of the church and the inside. There's all kinds of stuff going on around us, people. Okay, we need to draw closer to Jesus. We need to start applying the Word of God in our daily lives. Amen?
Amen.
Satan has a way of tempting us with money, with all kinds of different things that we believe will make life easier. You know that Jesus didn't even have a place where he could lay his head down. He slept outdoors. He was homeless. Yeah. And those people followed him. And they learned that living out there was just as beautiful as living at what? In the biggest, beautiful home that there might be. Yeah. See, I don't know when you wake up in the morning, but for me, the greatest thing in the morning is to wake up and enjoy the peace and quietness and joy that God gives me. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not concerned about anything. I just, wow, you know, not anxious about nothing. I just say, Lord, wow, this is so good just to wake up and, you know, like they used to say, smell the roses, you know. The enemy will make you think that money will fix your life. It won't. There's a hole inside each and every one of us. And the only one that can fill that hole is Jesus Christ. And then we will be whole and complete. Okay. Not money. Okay. The word says you can't have two masters. You will love one or hate the other or vice versa. But you see, God made you a promise. He said, I will meet your needs. If you trust that and you believe that, what a blessing. Amen? Because I'll tell you what, the other day I walked out of my house and it was just so beautiful outside. I started to get in the elevator and I looked up and I said, oh, wow, Lord, what a gorgeous day. And I said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And here's this lady using a walker. She's getting into the elevator. She said, I'm gonna go all the way to the post office and said, I'm going to go sharing with God about that. How glad I am that he's given me another day. You see how beautiful it is when you wake up and you go and God is using you and you're not asking him to, he does, amen? Yeah. You see, when Adam sinned, we lost the world. Okay. And Jesus is going to take it back. Amen. See, what he was offering Jesus, that he could give him the kingdoms of the world, he wasn't lying. You see, we lost it, sinned it. But see, Jesus came to take it back. And he's taking it back with what? Love. Just like you and me. You see, whatever we've done in our lives, in whatever capacity that we have lived and done everything, stop and think how the goodness of God has touched your life and changed it and gotten you to see and understand how good God is, not the things of this world. Amen? You see, Jesus finally said, then Jesus said, go away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord thy God and serve only him. Okay. Remember that. Don't have other gods. You don't need them. Believe in the real God and what he does for you every day. And you'll enjoy the goodness, the grace, and the love of God every day in your life. You know, God's got a plan for each and every one of us. Many years ago, I had no idea that God had a plan for me. And I was doing my best to enjoy life and have life at my way. Like Frank Sinatra says, I did it my way. I was doing that. And I found out that, guess what? I did it the wrong way. I gave my life to God. I never dreamed to be here on the pulpit. I never dreamed to be teaching people about God, serving God, doing everything that God called me to do. But he's worked things in my life that I can never do, only God can do. Yeah. I'm so blessed to be here and be a part of the pastoral group here. And I've seen all kinds of miracles that God has done here. I wish you had too. And you will. Amen? Amen. Would you close your Bibles and we'll close in prayer. My Heavenly Father, thank you, my dear God, for giving us another day of life, Lord. Thank you for the body that you have put together here, Lord. Thank you for all the wonderful people that are here today. Dear God, I humble myself before you, dear God, and awesome praise and worship to you, dear God, because without you, I'm nothing. Thank you for how kind, how loving, how merciful you are to me, dear God, that you have blessed me every day of my life, Lord. Thank you, my Father, for all my brothers and sisters. I pray that surely goodness and mercy should follow them all the days of their lives and that they would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May you bless each person here, dear God. Thank you, my Father God, for how good you are. And help us, Lord, to be like Jesus, not to condemn and criticize, but help us to reach out and love people and do our best to represent you, my dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.